I know I've got my Bible open. He didn't say I could never use it again, okay? Stop it. He didn't say I could never use it. We're in that season right now that one of the prophecies was titled, Complete the Purging Process. And it started off with, bring me gold. Well, we all understand, first off, gold is hard to dig out of the mountains in the first place, or to pan. It's hard to get. Then when you get it, it's not pure. And if you're really going to use it in jewelry or for some, you know, computers or a watch or something, they have to purify the gold. Well, from the gold's point of view, that is not a pleasant process. You know, you're going to heat it. You're going to liquefy it. That's probably not, you know, if gold had feelings, it probably wouldn't appreciate that. But the image and the purpose, though, is so anything that's not gold, anything that's, can I say, not God in us, anything that's not like Christ, the purpose of this purging process is that it come to the surface. Dave used to say it, it'll come to the surface where even you can see it. You go, I'm not like that. And everybody else goes, yeah, you are. We've loved you anyway, you know, but yeah, you are. No, yeah. But then that's not even the purging. That's just brought it to the surface. It's still got to be removed, see. And I look around the room at this group, and this, I see most of you here at prayer really often doing, when you know, I can't be at all the times, but I'm there as much as you can. We're supposed to lead by example. Tim is here. Lee is here. I don't want to leave anybody out, but the leadership is doing their part as they can to set the example. So I can't talk much about your purging process, but I can talk about mine a little bit. And go ahead and open up to John 14. It's two of our, this is like our foundational verse for revival. This is our quest. This is the one. Because even this morning, and really just the last few days, Matthew 16, it just keeps coming back to me as a teacher. And I was thinking about teaching again on the keys of the kingdom, which I've taught it before. And he did give us the keys, and it is based on authority. And we have a whole series on the authority of the believer and that type of thing. But as I hope I can phrase this, you know, it's not precise words always when he speaks to you, but the communication is pretty clear. So I'm going to try and put in words what he communicated to me. But I was thinking about teaching it again, especially this one right here, because you talk about keys now. These are, Jesus himself says this, the red letters in my Bible. We'll just do verses 11 and 12 through 13 and 14. Believe me, okay, this is John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. See, I would put my name right there. I would put your name, every one of you, right there. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, you can just Greek that all you want, and it's still going to mean, the works that I do, shall he do also. It means exactly what it sounds like it means. And even greater, now works is in italics, even greater than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. For the greater work, we know Jesus was never able to lead anybody into being born again. That was not available till after he himself was raised from the dead. So we're supposed to do the same works. What would that be? Cast out devils, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, the lame walk, the deaf hear, on and on and on. Okay? Same works. And greater. Well, that's leading people into the new birth. Okay, because I go unto the Father. If he had not ascended to the Father, if he had not been resurrected, become the firstborn from the dead, it would not be possible to have a secondborn and a thirdborn and your numbers in there somewhere. So that had to happen. Okay, but it has happened. So I read that. Okay, and whatever. Okay, let's keep going. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, you can Greek that out all you want to. It's nothing tricky there. It means exactly what it sounds like. It means exactly that. Jesus seldom repeats himself in two consecutive verses. I want to read 13 and 14. See if it don't sound, don't, See if it don't sound. I'm from the South, okay? Hush. Verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Purging process. I've known those verses are in the Bible ever for 40 years. I was so grateful when we found the church I grew up in as a little boy pretty well said miracles had passed away. So they didn't give you a whole lot of hope. And God could do anything, but you never knew what God would do and so forth. So we were so thankful when we found Pastor Dave, who absolutely, not only did we see miracles through him, but he absolutely would preach these verses as being the truth, and this is part of our promised land. Well, we hitched our wagon with Pastor Dave, and I'm glad we did, okay? But I've been at this a long time, so let's talk about the purging process, because I was thinking about teaching the keys based on this foundation right here. Now, again, I'm going to try and communicate in words. It was like he said to me, this time only preach the keys you're walking in. Don't teach anything you're not, because you're not qualified. What's happening on my personal walk, I'll just tell you, I hadn't even talked with Sue about this much. Because I've been down here a lot. I've been praying a lot. Now, just it ain't bragging if it's so. So have you, okay? I'm talking about my purging process. I've been fasting quite a bit this year. I've been in the Word a lot. There's coming a hunger in me that's no longer satisfied by teaching. Now, I'm a teacher. I love the Word. I love to teach the Word. I love to even, it's okay to go in and bring back a good report of the Promised Land. This is what I'm doing, what I just did there is a good report from the Promised Land. But at this moment, Gary can't really walk in that. Because I ask a lot of things that he doesn't do. Now, the hunger, this is, and I believe this is part of the purging process. Help me say this, Lord. Things you know that you didn't hear in English. He is the Word, but He is the living Word. He is the Word. I don't never want to minimize the written, printed, Holy Word of God. It is a living thing. And I love it. You know I love it. Anyone that's been around me all these years. And it's not that I don't know the living Word at all. I do. But I don't know Him like I know Sue. See, Paul said he had one thing left. He says, all my pedigree, born a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, on and on, all that stuff. He says, I count all that but dung, that I might know Him. This purging process is making me very unhappy in a very good way. Does that make any sense? I've read stories. Now, I'm not I don't know much about birds, but I've read stories that the mama eagle, when the little eaglets are getting at the age where they should fly, she'll start bringing thorns to the nest, making it uncomfortable for the eaglets. My nest is getting thorny. What has been comfortable is not comfortable anymore. What has satisfied is not satisfying anymore. But it's in a good way. We've got to fly. We've got to lift off. We've got the caterpillar must finish the transformation and get our wings as a butterfly and leave the nest. Does that make any? You understand where I'm coming from with this? And again, Sue, that phrase has just been coming up in Sue, and she said, exactly how did Dave say that? It took us about 3 days to remember exactly how Dave said it. You have limited yourself with limited men who have limited me, says God. Where we're going, there's no school where you can go to learn. I thank God for anybody that's got a Bible college or a teaching or a healing school. Thank God for anybody that's doing anything. But there is no place you can go right now on planet Earth where we can take Victoria. In case you don't know who that is, Victoria is a beautiful young lady. I guess she's 19 now, I think. She's a teenager anyway. But she was born with a partial brain. Her just wasn't born with a full brain. And her motor functions work. And she can eat and, you know, but she can not communicate. Anyway, I think there's nowhere on planet Earth right now, medical or divinity, you know what I mean, church or medical, where we can take Victoria and 100% be sure that when we bring her back, she'll have a fully developed brain. But I know that I know that I know. You can't beat it out of me with rifle butts. If Jesus himself was on planet Earth in his own body, I know that I know that I know that I could bring Victoria to him. And she's coming back whole with a complete brain and probably able to speak at the college level. Okay. I don't know how I know that, but I just know that. So I can't go to any school taught by men. I mean, it's okay, but there is no place we can go, church, to learn from limited men. And it's not that they're not, I don't mean that they're not well-meaning. They are. But they've got limits on God. But there are no limits on God. And that's why we have to. I love how Sue said it to me today or yesterday. She said, boy, that phrase, that what Dave said there, you have limited yourselves to limited men who are limiting me. She said, that phrase is why it's an absolute necessity that we pray in other tongues. We have to learn from him who knows no limits. No wonder these things are spiritually discerned. The natural man is not going to comprehend that. Now, I believe it can be taught, but it has to be taught from your spirit. Your spirit first has to be taught by the Holy Ghost. But I believe. I choose to believe that I believe John 14:12-14. Let's just say it as a confession. Say it. Say, Lord, we believe you. The works that you did, we're going to do those same works. Actually, let's do it again. The works that you did, we do those same works. And even greater than works than that, than those. Because we're able to lead people into the new birth. Lord, we believe you. Whatever we ask in your name, you do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you repeated yourself, Lord. In the very next verse, you said, if we ask anything in your name, you'll do it. Again, from this morning's message, remembering, shortening it some. What was it that kept the disciples? Let's say it a different way. What was it that held back the Holy Spirit from healing that boy that had the devil, the one that kept throwing him in the fire and throwing him in the water? It's unbelief. Jesus did not mince words It's unbelief. And many of your modern Bibles take this next phrase out, but it's in there. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. And he doesn't mean that particular kind of devil. He didn't say it's a big bad devil. He didn't say that was the problem. Unbelief is the problem. Well, Dave taught eloquently how fasting deals with unbelief. I've already found out you can study fasting. You can study fasting. You can teach fasting. You'll never know fasting till you do it. I learned more the first year that Angie and I, even on, I got ridiculed for it. It's okay. I got ridiculed for doing a Daniel fast. I'm telling you, anything that tells the flesh no, the flesh don't like it. And you are on, you've started, you know. And then we went on to some water fasts and then series type fasting. And I've done more in the last few years than I did all the years before. And I can teach on fasting to a certain extent now because I'm qualified. See what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Okay, that's one. The other place he had me mark here is Mark 11. Now let's get over here. Mark 11. And we've been teaching on this, I think, the last two Sunday nights. Last Sunday night, we taught on the importance of believing that, speak the end result. Remember that last Sunday night? And that's, again, these instructions, I believe, are from God that's come through these nine prophecies. He has just, like, bent down like a little child, like Jane, see the ball. You want revival, kids? Here's how you do it. And he's given us these instructions that if we will follow them, I believe he will lead us right into the fullness of this revival. And if we don't, we're not. You know? Dave said we're not going to have heaven's best till we get past hell's worst. Well, no, I don't believe that. Well, ask Paul. I'm not saying that we're all going to go, you know, exactly to the apostle level. I don't know about that. But boy, he became a target. You start raising the dead, casting. See, you won't have to advertise your ministry. You won't have to pass out cards. You won't have to call people out of the yellow pages like Alan talked this morning. Listen, you start opening the blind eyes, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, honey. Your only problem is going to be how big a place can you get? Because, I mean, they're going to come. They're going to come. You're not going to have a problem where to preach and what to do. Okay. So the last couple of Sundays, he's emphasized, and it's because he mentioned it, emphasized it in those prophecies, speak the end result. Be careful what you say. You remember all of that? Well, that brings us to Mark 11. Have faith, Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Well, how do you do that? Well, this is how God's faith works. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, I don't know if you underline or mark in your Bible, whosoever, you could just put your name right there. He's not talking about the fivefold. He's not talking about the apostle only. He said whosoever. See, I understand where Alan's coming from, trying to keep the balance on Joel's army. Dear God, if you really read about Joel's army, because he said, people have used it as an excuse to, how did he put it, so that they don't have to be under authority. They can just go do whatever they want to do. Well, that's not what it says. It says they don't break ranks. This is an army, like a military trained, well-oiled machine. You find your place and you fill that spot and you don't break ranks. Amen? Okay. Well, this is part of our, we have to believe this. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now let's just, why would he say it that way? Okay, a mountain is a whole bunch of rocks. You take a rock and you stand at the edge of the sea and you've got a rock that you can see, right? You take that rock and you throw it far as you can, plunk, Can you see that rock anymore? Nope. Is it going to cause you to stumble anymore? It's gone, isn't it? He says, you can not only say it to a rock, you can say it to any mountain. He's right. That was a good commentary. That's right. Think about it. Cancer? Leukemia? Missing a leg? I love that one. I can't wait till the legs grow out on national TV. While they watch. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. That means that mountain cannot be seen anymore. It's gone. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Sue and I have had some experience with this. I can talk about this one. This is a part of the promised land to some extent, some small extent we have attained to. We have spoken to all kinds of things. See, I'm still, according to medical science, I have, quote, an incurable heart disease, but I don't have it. But medical science would probably tell you I do have it, but I don't have it. Because I haven't had to take a dose of that medicine since May of 1998, and this is the year 2020, I think I made it. Even though I'm only 73, as my mother said. But we spoke to that thing. We spoke to it. And there's been so many things. We spoke over our daughters when it looked terrible, all three of them in rebellion at the same time. We spoke the word. We commanded. We called them what the word says. But see, and so there's a measure, if you'll allow me. We possessed part of that promised land. Okay? But at this moment, we all battled with Helena. Helena battled. We battled. It was, for those that may not know, Helena's, she got cancer. I spoke. Sue spoke. You spoke. We all spoke. Dave spoke. Laid hands till we about rubbed her head off. No, not her hair. Not her head. Okay. But still, that mountain won. Is that what he says? But yet we lost that one. Before that, it was Mary Corbett. And we could list many others. I don't think Jesus would lose a one. I don't think he intends for us to lose a one. So what are we going to do now? Well, I'm going to enroll in the next Bible school that comes through town, and I'm going to have limited men who have limited God teach me how to limit God too. That's the only option that you have, unless you have access to another teacher. And I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, he, I love the personal pronoun, not an it, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. You know, the Holy Spirit, if he wanted, if it was the mind of God, let's say he could have spoke all different kind of instructions through Pastor Bronk. Now, he just chose Pastor Bronk this time. Next time he may speak through you, I don't know. But this time he spoke all nine of those prophecies. And those of you that have been, you know what I'm talking about. He could have had different instructions. He could have said something different. He could have said this or could have said that. I personally believe God gave us the truth. He says, if you want to go from where you are into the fullness of truth, here is what I need from you. And in many ways, he said it. He's so gentle and so kind. He said it again and again and again. Come away with me. Spend time with me. Pray in the Spirit. And he also said, do it corporately. Now, it's fine to pray. We develop our own language here and don't realize that we do it. I had such a dear friend that I've never met face to face, but I love him like a son. in South Africa, and they'll be watching, you know, South Africa. He says, I hate to ask you this question, and I'm waiting for a great theological whatever. He says, what is windshield prayer? I said, oh my goodness, we develop a language we don't even realize that we all know what windshield prayer is. And So I told him what it was. I said, well, that's when you're doing other things, you know, maybe driving a car, vacuuming. He says, oh good, I've been doing that a lot. He says, he's young. He likes to bicycle, you know. I said, so cycling? I said, cycling with prayer while cycling equals windshield prayer. He says, only for the first 2 miles, because then you don't have enough breath. I love it. I love it. But the point I'm trying to make, the Holy Spirit, I believe He told us the truth. I believe those prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk are exactly the prescription from heaven, if you'll allow me. How do we go from where we are to John 14, the verses that we read? Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Because it's unbelief. Come on. It's unbelief. He talks about fasting in there. Bronk sent me a link last week. Says, hey, I can't wait till you hear this. I taught on fasting. So I texted him back. I ain't listening to no lesson on fasting. Thanks for warning me. I ain't listening to that. Of course, he knew I would. Hallelujah. And I see the ones that are listening here, the ones that are here, same ones for the most part that I see in prayer all the time. Well, okay. Jesus changed the world with 12 people. There was only 120. When I think of the thousands upon thousands that ate the miraculous loaves and fishes, when I think upon the thousands upon thousands that Jesus healed and touched, yet on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people in the upper room. I think we're doing okay. He can take this group right here and change the world. If we don't quit. The rest of Mark 11, we've got to finish it now. See, we've got to come. Yes, sir. And this is last Sunday's message. And I'm not going to teach on that again. Speak the end result. Okay, we did that. And then verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. Now here it is again. Believing. Believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. We've got some experience on that, Sue and I. We've got financial things. We've got physical things. We've got the first van that we ever called in that way. Believe we received. And we detailed it as, you know. We can testify. But we didn't have it at the Helena level. And what I mean is we lost her to cancer. Well, I don't believe Jesus would lose her. I don't believe He'll lose her today if we can get rid of the unbelief. And I don't think He's displeased with us. I think it's just the opposite. I think God is in your corner. I think He is your biggest cheerleader, if you want to know the truth of it. I think He's up there going, come on now. Come on, I told you what to do. I'm proud of you. You're doing good. Don't quit now. Don't let them fiery darts run you off. Hold up that shield of faith. Keep your righteousness on now. Keep your breastplate on. Don't get offended. Be sure to forgive. See, because right after that, verse 25, and. When somebody says and, it means they're not done talking yet. And. When you stand praying. Praying what? What things soever you desire. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Well, how many wants that? I need that. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now see, and where I, because of how the Lord has used me this last 10 years, I've had to step into arenas that I don't want to be in if I had my choice. And separations have had to happen of people that I greatly love. And I don't think they hate me. I don't hate them. In my heart, I can't find any unforgiveness. But never forget this. There's a big difference between forgiving and trusting. Forgiveness is free. Trust is earned. I forgive you for stealing my money. You stole my money. Okay, I forgive you. I'm not letting you handle my credit card. Okay. Do you have a track record? I love you. I don't have anything against you. Hey, I don't trust you though. See? So there's that kind of situation going on. But I have to be careful because the devil is really good. If somebody does say something about you, the devil's really good at making sure you hear about that. I said, oh, we've got to get this to Gary. You know? God help them if they say anything against Sue. Now, I'm just telling you right now. Oh, sorry. Which they don't. But I have to be careful myself. I cannot let, you can't either. Where we're going, there's just no room for unforgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to agree with every person on everything. It doesn't mean that I trust every person to do everything. Angie has her son-in-law from Italy who's never driven here, and he's learning to drive. He's learning to get his driver's license. He's got his green card, and he's going through the whole process legally to become a citizen. He's from Italy. You'd love him if you meet him. But I don't trust Lewis to drive my car right now. I mean, I love the boy. I don't have anything against him, the young man. But I don't trust him. Now, once he passes his driver's test, the written part, I'm going to help him learn how to drive. So's Kevin, and he'll be an excellent driver. But until that day, get in the back. Does that help? We are going to become a people. I'm telling you, he is purging us of unbelief with every hour that we give him. It is tedious to come down here and pray. I've got to tell you, though, it's better than it used to be. Those old-timers that were here 20 years ago when they would... The prayer meetings turned into gab fests. Everybody talking with everybody. And we found out pretty quick. You could get more prayer in at home than you could here. I will say this for the group that's coming. And it's once in a while you have a little conversation. That's fine. But I mean, for the 98% of the time, prayer. Just pray. Just pray. Let's let the Holy Ghost pray the mysteries, because none of us know how to get there. And nobody that we know knows how to get there. Dave himself, he was still present. He will still spearhead the revival. He was going to spearhead this charge into the revival. I still believe that. There's nothing in me that wants to develop. I never want the sign to change to Gary Carpenter Ministries. I could care less about that. Nothing in me cares about that. I want Dave to walk up. Dave 2.0, funnier than ever, more anointed than ever. Pat me like he does, you know, that old gentle pat. You can sit down, Gary. I'll take it from here. Oh, God, that's a great day. Praise God. I love our pastor. So I guess all I'm saying is we've got to continue the purging process. Maybe that's the title. We just got to continue the purging process. Can't let anything divert us. It's all about possessing the land. Yes, sir. See, he said it. I want to try again to say it. It had something like this. It's good to bring back a good report. We've done that a lot. A lot of teaching, that's what it is. We're teaching the truth, but it's at a level that we're not really walking. But if you don't teach it, see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've never been to heaven. Have you? Maybe in a vision you have. I don't know, but I've never been there. How do I know there's a heaven? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. How do I know about the blood of Jesus? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But at some point, you've got to possess that. You couldn't just hear the message of the cross forever and never surrender to Him to be born again. Until that happens, you've only heard about the abundant life of being saved, but you haven't possessed the abundant life of being saved. Well, we've done so much teaching beyond where we have possessed. Does that make sense? But the hunger now is we have to walk in it. Well, how do we go from where we are to there? It's not a matter of knowledge. We already have. If you've been attending this church for a while and heard the messages, and the same with Jim Martin and the same with Bronk and others, I don't mean to leave anybody out. Honey, if we walk in the knowledge that we have, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, revival has come. It's not a matter at this point of knowledge. We have the hope that faith is to possess, but it is time to possess the land. And I don't know any other way to do it except by what the Holy Spirit has given us, specific instructions through those 9 prophecies. And I believe we just ought to go for it with all that we can. Just go for it. Yes, sir. I'm seeing the leaky boat, and the reason for that, the purging process, I'm finding out, is not just sin things. You know, at this stage, looking around this group, I hope to God there's nobody in here still in fornication. You know, okay, there's nobody. So, you know, you could mention it. I mean, that is an early level of purging, okay? Hope to God that's not where we are now, okay? It's more things like envy and jealousy sometimes, and get your feelings hurt, and forgiveness and that kind of thing. But I'm finding out, even we're going through a season right now. When I saw, he showed me the leaky boat, and the reason we found 2 financial things that were like little holes in our boat. We're there. One of them was with AT&T, a thing that we'd been paying 10 years. You know, a little thing. You know, they got so many details on there. You don't know. Just pay it. Well, I got an Angie. She's going, what is this? And we thought it was one thing, and we've been paying it all these years. Come to find out, it's something we shouldn't have been paying at all. But did you know AT&T has not offered to reimburse us? But by golly, we got that hole plugged. And there was another one. There's no point. We got another one. That's about $100 a month plug. It's good to find $100 holes in your boat and plug them. Isn't that good? So we're finding even in that kind of realm, he's just purging things, you know, getting us ready in every possible way. Now, right on the other hand, there's been some physical. The enemy is not just sitting by idle. Has anyone noticed that? There's been attack on eyes, there's been attack on bodies, there's been attack on our cars, there's been attack on all kinds of things. And I don't mean just, I mean, this is an attack. This is an actual attack from the enemy. Do y'all know what the shield of faith is? It is written, it is written, it is written. See, but he has to stop us here. How do you, if you don't want that giant oak tree, when do you pluck it out of the ground? When you first see the sapling, isn't that right? When all it takes is just pull it out. That's what he's trying to do. But I think you've already got the roots down too deep for that. Okay? You know too much. You know what to do. Don't let your mouth be silent when you're under attack. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't think it away. He said it. He spoke out loud. He spoke the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. Okay. Father, best I know, I obeyed you. Father, for all of us, Lord, we are so thankful for those prophecies that you spoke to give us line-on-line instruction on what to do. Now, Father, shame on us if we don't do it. But we sure do appreciate you laying it up for us. And Father, for this group that's here tonight, and I know there's many others around the world. Father, it so blesses me when someone from another state or another country says, "Now, what are those prayer hours? I want to join with you." Oh, my goodness. Father, thank you for the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Father, we do thank you for empowering us with the very might of your Son, the Spirit of that you've given us of Christ, that we are able to do this. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and we are able to do this by your grace in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, you can say, Amen. You are on the cusp of believing me, says the Lord. You are on the cusp of believing me. I have nurtured for many years in this place. I have taught and I have encouraged and I have exhorted and I have almost on my knee begged that a group would come and sit at the feet of the teacher, the Holy Spirit that I have sent. And know this. I don't see revival. I don't see that. It's not a far off thing. You are on the cusp of believing me, says the Lord. Press in, says the Lord. You're closer than you think. Whew. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sorry. No, I'm not. It's coming in a picture. See, can you see Jesus and the 12 coming through a village? And them knowing he's coming. Why do you think they brought all those people so they'd be close enough for Peter's shadow? And what I saw right there, I just saw this little band here, this little group going through Tulsa. And if word gets out, if it really we possess, oh my goodness, we're going to see things. And it's like I've been developing this little band. I've been developing this group. Now don't give up now. Don't stop now. You're on the cusp of this. This is what he's been after this whole time. I can't say it better, but I see it.